Welcome to a podcast of Aurelia Community Church, where we desire to bring the whole gospel to the whole person, to the whole world, proclaiming the liberating power of the gospel as we grow, serve, and go. Join us in this message as we look to the scriptures, seeking to be transformed into the image of Christ.
Check, check. There we go. All right. Story's a little slow getting up here. All right. Well, it's good to be back. It's nice that you consider me to be like family, and I kind of feel the same way. I'm just wondering, like, what's going on here? Is this like a quarantine section up at the front? Was there like a bad smell one week and everybody wants to stay away? I don't know. Hang on a second. I'm sorry. I have to take a call. It might be the radio station. Hello? I'm in church right now. Oh, Pete, how's it going? How's the tour going? Right, it's Pete Townsend from The Who calling me. Yeah, how's Roger's voice? Is he doing good? Right on. Aaron? Yeah, Aaron was here this morning. Oh, man, he was killing it on the drums. He's amazing. What? Okay, I'll ask him. Aaron, where are you? Where is he? He wants to know if you can go on tour with him in the fall with The Who. He's going to check with his people. He'll get back to you. All right, very good. That was awesome this morning. Man, you're just killing it. Well, I realize I've been here a few times, and I don't know if I've told you when I became a Christian or how I became a Christian. It was in the late 80s, and Janice and I were living in Pembroke. I was working at a radio station there, at a secular radio station, and our daughter Crystal was 4 years old, and she was playing with a little girl across the street. Her name is Eva, and Eva invited her to church on a Wednesday night. So Crystal asked us, is it okay if I go to church on Wednesday? And we said, the church is open on Wednesdays? I thought it was only open on Sundays. So it was the Awana program. Anybody familiar with the Awana program? Okay, so it was the Awana program. And as you know from that program, if you get a point for your team, if you can memorize some scripture verses, if you bring a friend to church, then you get a point. So Crystal looked at Janice and I as a couple of points and said, would you come to church? So you'd do anything for your kid, right? So we went to church so that we could give her a couple of points. And we just were kind of casing the joint. You know, when you visit a church or if you're looking for a church, you kind of case it out. And anybody here my age? Is the pastor going to be cool? And so we continued to go there, and we just noticed there was something different about these people. We found out that they were Christians. So one day, I believe it was Easter, and Janice and I went to the pastor's house for dinner, and he led us in the sinner's prayer there, and we became Christians. You can hit the drums, a rim shot or something. Come on, I'm going to need more than that. I need more interactive. Yeah, all right, praise God. So just soon after, my friend Lauren, who also works in media, he said, so you're a Christian now. Do you want to hear some Christian music? And I said, I don't know. I thought it would be either like heavy metal or it would be hymns. I didn't know there was so much cool music. And he said, would you like to listen to DeGarmo and Key? And I said, who are they? Is that like a husband and wife team? They're like two guys from classic rock. I didn't know anything about Christian music. Well, one day I finally decided to borrow a cassette, and I was sitting in my car at the rail crossing, and the rail crossing was down. It was like ding, 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 and I'm waiting for the train to pass. And I have my Jeff Moore cassette, and I have my Rolling Stones cassette, and I'm trying to decide which one to listen to. And then I put the Jeff Moore cassette in the car tape deck, and I realized I am choosing Christian music over the Rolling Stones. What is happening to me? I even looked up going, what is happening to me? And then from that point on, it just went from Jeff Moore to Stephen Curtis Chapman to a lot of different artists. And I found that they were singing about things that I cared about, which, of course, is my faith. Then I heard about Christian radio, and I was working in North Bay at an oldies station. Oldies is music for dead people. And the afternoon guy was Terry, and Terry went to Fort Myers, Florida to visit his family. And he came back and he says, Scott, you're a church guy, right? And I said, yeah. And he said, there is this radio station called Way FM, and they play this really cool music that sounds like normal music, but it's all about God. And then between the songs, the DJs read these verses, these little psalm things. And so that was my first time I ever heard of Christian radio. And then, as it turns out, I ended up going to the States, getting a work permit, going to the States, going to Nashville, and that's where I learned Christian radio down there. So Christian Radio is largely listener-supported. Life 100.3 is listener-supported. I'm just amazed at how we get letters and donations from people, and they send a letter telling us how it has changed their life and has helped them spiritually. I mean, I work there, and it's changed my life, but it's affirmation to know that it's worked for other people as well. Well, I want to show you a short video. This will take you behind the scenes. I brought one last time. This is a brand new video, so you'll see some of the DJs. You'll see us in outreach situations. So let's watch the video, and then I'll come back with the message. Ontario's Christian
Superstation. Life 100.3. Do you remember throwing birthday parties for your kids when they were young?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, we did that on Saturday for our one-year-old. We're still cleaning up from this. This is a disaster.
To be a year cleaning it up, you'll have another birthday.
So when people listen to the all-new Breakfast Club in the morning, we're hoping that, for one thing, most importantly, that they're encouraged, that they start their day off with Christ, that they look to Him, that something that we say on the air, maybe a Bible verse, one of the lyrics of the songs, whatever it may be, just that they turn to Him, and that's what we pray in the mornings, but also that they laugh, that they have a good time.
Oh, for sure. You know, there's so many things coming at you in a day, and you might think, oh, how am I going to get through this, or there's so many things I got to get done. We just want you to know that you can make it, and you can get through this, and we'll do it together.
Your faith, your music. Steve Jones. Life.
Ontario's Christian Superstation, Life 100.3. Need to breathe. Brother. Hi, it's Steve Jones. I've been thinking about my prayer life lately. I think it's because I've been reading through 2 Samuel and the life of David. And every time he went to battle, he prayed. Before, after, during. In fact, David prayed all the time. I think at times I treat my prayer life more like a crisis hotline. And the problem with that is, it's hard to recognize God's voice when you only talk to Him every once in a while. And that's why I think God wants our communication with Him to be more than a crisis hotline. So when all of those other voices overwhelm us, it will be God's voice that breaks through.
I think my favorite memory at Life was the Mark Schultz concert, which happened to be our 5th anniversary party, because all I had known of Mark Schultz were his songs on the radio, and quite often they tell a story, they tug at your heartstrings, and I had no idea the guy was a stand-up comedian when he does his show. So he would sing this powerful song, and there'd be tears from everybody, and then 3 seconds later, he'd have you doubled over in laughter from his jokes that he's telling from the stage.
When I was thinking about Life 100.3 and putting it together in my head back in 1999, I was thinking about songs that would give people hope and inspire people in their faith in Jesus Christ. So we've got songs all day that are just about that. And at night, if you like things a little bit edgier, we have slamming Christian hits. Some people just love worship music, and it's great because Sunday is all worship all day long. And then Saturday, a great day, it's the Retro Show.
The Life Retro Show is on the air. That's Cigar Monkey with Rock Solid, and I'm Scott Jackson. So glad that you've tuned in. You know we do this show twice, right? It's so nice. We play it twice, 6 a.m. and 11 a.m. on Saturdays, just so that you have a chance to hear it. Okay, on deck. Do you remember the TV show I Love Lucy from the 50s? Okay, you remember Little Ricky who played on that show? Well, the actor who played Little Ricky is the lead singer of David and the Giants, and they are coming up next on Life.
My most embarrassing moment at Life's was one of my first memories being on air. So I think it was like my first or my second shift by myself. And I was on a phone call, and then I put the person on hold because I had to jump on air. And then I went back to go talk to them when I was done speaking. And I was like, hello? There's no answer. I was like, hello? And so I started like singing. I was like, hello? And then I looked down, and the on-air button was on. And my mom texted me like 2 minutes after that. She's like, you sound like a crazy person. It was like a commercial. It was like, Jim Wilson, all of a sudden here, hello? Hello? So that would have to be one of my most embarrassing moments.
Life 100.3 at 180 with, of course, you save me. My name's Tara Monero, and here's a question. Do you like the outdoors? Do you like the outdoors as much as the lead singer from this next band? Likely not, because he's been sleeping in a hammock in the forests of Colorado for the past few days. Why? I don't know why. The way she goes, it's abandoned. Life 100.3.
All right, good video. Praise God. God's done so much through this radio station. A couple of weeks ago, we celebrated our 17th anniversary. We're in the 18th year. I can't believe it. People tell me that they grew up listening to Life, and I'm thinking, you grew up listening to Life? I was in radio long before this even started. I can't believe it. Are we that old? Is that much time passed? When I first came to Barrie in 1997, my pastor, I told him I was thinking of starting a radio station, combining my faith with my experience. And he said, here's what you need to do. Go to the CBMC guys, the Christian businessmen in Barrie. He says, share the vision with them. They're business guys. They'll be able to help you financially. So I put together a little presentation, and I didn't know anybody there, and I went up to speak, and I was telling them my story of working in Nashville and growing up in Toronto and this crazy idea of a Christian radio station. And so they were kind of listening like this, and then I sat down. One of the people in the audience, his name is Arch Brown. He's passed away a couple of years ago. He was the guy who started Canadian Tire in Barrie and was a fairly wealthy gentleman. And as I sat down, he stood up, and he said, this guy's going to do it. He's going to do it. Do you know why? Because he's got tenacity. And then he sat down, and everybody was silent because Arch Brown had spoken. And I thought, tenacity. I got to look that up when I get home. I wonder what that is. But to have his affirmation was amazing. And then here we are. And it was just before that I spoke, another fellow came up to me. He said, Christian radio, huh? That's going to be a tough nut to crack. And I felt my enthusiasm go, but Arch's encouragement was great. And then it's amazing, like here we are today. All right, so I want to get into a message this morning. And I've got to tell you, I changed the message this morning when I was having breakfast. I've never done that before. I'm usually extremely organized. And the night before, I've got all my notes lined up and everything so I don't forget anything. And I changed it this morning. I don't know why, so hopefully there's some supernatural reason why I've done that. The message this morning is called, Sometimes I Suck at Being a Christian. There we go. This is the name of the message. So, like, why do I suck being a Christian? I think it's because, well, there's many reasons why I would suck. Because my quiet time isn't happening as often as it should be. Because my Bible reading isn't as active as it should be. Sometimes I feel like I'm a bad witness where I had an opportunity to share with somebody and then the wrong words came out, or I was just being a goon and I was a bad witness. And I think, okay, I'll get it together by, like, today's a new day. Tomorrow's a new day. I'll get it together. Does that ever happen to you? Can we have a show of hands at anybody who feels like, no? Yes, you guys admit it. Oh, this is OCC. You guys are crazy anyway. None of these things, though, like reading your Bible, praying, and being a witness, I mean, none of these things make us a Christian, right? We're Christians because we believe that Jesus died for our sins. But we're going to want to do those things. Once we are a Christian, the desire will be in our heart. The church I go to right now is called Living for Jesus. I know most of you guys know of that. It's on Mississauga Street. And I discovered it totally by accident. I was playing drums with a fellow named Tom Rowe, and he was the guest worship leader at Living for Jesus. So he was playing, and I was playing with him. And as we arrived at the church, Praise and Worship Sunday on Life was playing on the PA system. And I thought, I like this place already. And then I met Pastor Jim, and we just kind of hit it off. And because Janice and I had since moved from Barrie into Oro Station, it was closer to Orillia. So Living for Jesus became our home church. And it's not just a church, though. It's an outreach center where they feed people, about 90 people every day, 365 days a year. I love the vision that they have. A little while ago, I was listening to Walk on the Word on Life 100.3. James McDonald was speaking. And he said, when you see someone on the street and they're asking for money, do you give them money or do you think, no, I'm not going to give them money because they're going to blow it on booze or something like that. So we don't give it to them. He says, if God's child is asking for something, who are you to say no to them? And that made me so uncomfortable. And he also said in the message, you don't want to give them money because they're afraid they're going to blow it. But that's none of your business what they do with it. All you have to do is give, and that blesses God when you give. So this came into exercise for me when I was in Ottawa on my annual bike ride, and I was going down Elgin Street, and there was a guy on the sidewalk, and he was asking for money. I went, okay, so I reached in. I pulled out a toonie or something like that. Okay, I'm thinking James McDonald. I get to the next block, the very next block, and there's another guy, and he asks for money. So I gave him some money as well. I had the James McDonald, you're going to get it. So then I go around the corner. It was later on in the day, and there's another guy, and he said, I need money for bus fare. I have to pick up my wife or my kid in Oshawa or something like that. Have you got any money? And no, that's enough. Like, I got him, and I got him. No, that's, I'm done. I'm done for now. Now I'm going down the street, and there's a McDonald's, and there's a guy in front of McDonald's, and he says, can you give me any money? And I said, no, but I'll take you in, and I'll buy you dinner. So I took him in, and I said, what do you want? And he said, I want the meal of the day. I said, okay, what's the meal of the day? They said, it's a 99-cent hamburger. And I said, okay, do you want fries with that? Do you want a drink? Do you want a combo? He's, no, I just want the meal of the day. I said, okay, let's go. Like, I was really nervous and beside myself. I said, let's go. Come on, he wants the meal of the day so I can get back on my bike. And so he hands us the meal of the day. The guy sits down, and I'm heading for the door, and I'm thinking, I should say something like, what do I say? What do I say? So I just went up to him and I said, enjoy your meal. Jesus loves you. And he said, yes, he does. And I went, wow. The guy ministered to me as I was leaving. It was crazy. Isaiah 58:7 says, share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them and do not hide from relatives who need your help. It's funny how that we go to church, and we think the church is for everyone. I hear that all the time. We have all different age groups, and we'll have a 16-year-old guy, and we'll have an 80-year-old woman who have, like, absolutely nothing in common, but we're trying to make a church that's for everybody. So, like, he likes punk music, and he likes metal music, and she likes worship music or maybe Mozart, and he likes going skateboarding, and she likes doing quilting, and he thinks about friends and sex, and she thinks about friends and sex. Okay, so they do have, they have something in common. But it's amazing that these are like totally different people, and we think that the preaching and the music will reach all these different people, and they have different tastes. And I'm wondering, what if there was like a church for each specific audience, for young guys and for seniors and different people like that? I once had this dream of a church for guys. So bear with me on this, okay? We're going to have, like, loud music. We're going to have Aaron on drums pounding away, kind of like he was this morning. Maybe a bit of a light show. People are going to stand up, and they're going to be stomping their feet like they do at a Leafs game, especially when the Leafs score a goal. Okay, so that might be kind of quiet, maybe. When the guys come to church, there's going to be a program that looks like maybe like a hockey program. It's going to be really colorful. The pastor goes up, and he's going to wear sweatpants like I do at home, and he won't speak longer than 10 minutes. Like, the bells go off at 10 minutes, and that's it. Fortune.com did this survey. They said, if your audience is still paying attention after the first 8 seconds, you have approximately 4 minutes and 52 seconds until their attention spans are exhausted. The average adult attention span has plummeted from 12 minutes a decade ago to just 5 minutes now. Are you guys with me? Are you with me, or are you gone? Where's that goldfish one? Throw up the next slide. When browsing the web, the average adult has a shorter attention span than a goldfish. So maybe that means most of you guys are already checked out. I don't know. So I'm imagining this church for guys, and there's going to be props all around, like a fishing rod and a miter saw and a dumbbell and a catalytic converter and stuff like that. Instead of taking up an offering, they're going to hand out Coke and beer, because almost every Christian guy I know drinks beer. If it targeted guys like that, wouldn't that be interesting? I said to my friend in church, hey, John, what do you think about a church like this? And John said, that would be awesome. And his wife said, ew, I would hate that. And I said, exactly. So we'll make a church for women. It's going to have nice quilts and things around. I know. That's my wife. She came to church with me today. Please, if you see her after, please don't call her Scott Jackson's wife. Her name is Janice Baird. She doesn't want to be Scott Jackson's wife. Am I embarrassing you or something? So why do I come to church? I come usually for the main thing is the message, and I want to take home one thing. I don't know if you'll get anything out of this message, hopefully, but if I can take home one thing and I can apply one thing, then I feel like church has been successful. Like, I get to sing a couple of songs that I really love, and I get to see my friends and stuff. But sometimes I feel like I go to church to get and not to give. Like, I want to be healed of something, or I want my favorite song. Sometimes I'll, like, judge the worship team, and if the worship leader is singing flat again, like, I just can't worship because he's singing flat. Or if the pastor is going too long, like, I'm not going to go to that church anymore because he just talks too long. I mean, I've done that. Have you guys done that? No, not at OCC. I know. Well, I guess when I go to church, sometimes I expect something, and I'll probably be let down if I'm expecting. Some churches announce, come to church and expect your miracle. I don't think I have the right to expect anything from God. I mean, I'm coming to give thanks, and I'm coming to give praise. I'm not coming to get, and I certainly don't expect God to do something. If he does, then that's awesome, but I'm not expecting it. If there's healing for somebody or myself at the end, then, man, that is really good. Maybe I suck at being a Christian because I'm just complaining. You know, the grass is greener on the other side, that sort of thing. Or coveting, I go into other radio stations to get ideas. And I'll see, like, he's got a great office and they've got this great computer system. Man, I wish we had that. Maybe I'm coveting when I do that. Or we see people with really nice cars or nice homes. Sometimes we wish that we could have that. We know it's wrong. We kind of brush it off, but I think that we all do that. Then there was the Israelites. And they were complaining and rumbling and grumbling against their leader, Moses, and God dealt with them very severely. Maybe they didn't realize that when they were rebelling, they're actually rebelling against what God has given to them. So all those complainers who were 20 years and older, they all died in the desert, and they never did reach the promised land. In Exodus 16:8, Moses said, "Who are we? You're not grumbling against us, but you're grumbling against the Lord." So if we don't want to grumble and complain, then what's the answer? Well, gratitude and being thankful with our hearts and our minds. And if we're being grateful each day for what we have, then maybe we won't be tempted to complain. That's a good place for an amen. When we complain, I think that we're insulting God's provision, because we know we have it so good, don't we? I mean, we turn on the news and there's beheadings going on, and there's shootings at the Boston Marathon, and there's problems going on in schools, and there's outrageously awful things happening to animals that make me sick. And we've got our own first world problems. I mean, first world problems. So it's wintertime. I hit my keychain. The electric car starter won't start, and it's cold outside. Or I go through the drive-through at Harvey's and they forget to put relish on my hamburger. Or the cell service at my house is terrible. I mean, these are definitely first world problems. Don't you agree? Paul says, "I've learned to be content with whatever I have," Philippians 4:11. So I don't know about you. Maybe you're physically sick. Maybe you have financial issues going on right now. Maybe there's some sort of relationship or trouble at home. And so telling you to be content is probably the last thing you want to hear. But stuff happens, and it's really our attitude toward it that's going to get us through it. So I think about how blessed I am, and I wrote a blog about this a little while ago. So I copied it, and I want to read it to you. I just wanted to show gratitude. It was mostly for myself. The first thing was, I am blessed because I love it when people come early to work. That is not late, but when they come early, that's awesome. Number two, movies without guns. Number three, hearing sleigh bells in a Christmas song. Number four, when my wife leaves a Kit Kat unexpectedly on my desk at the office. Number five, I get a thank you note at Life, and it says thank you, and it doesn't ask for something at the end. Number six, winter. I used to hate winter, but now I just see the beauty in it. Number seven, finding out there's a new Rocky movie. Number eight, Christians who talk in normal English. Number nine, brown paper packages tied up a string. I just thought I'd throw that one in there to see if you guys were listening. Number 10, hearing my favorite song on the radio. Man, that is an awesome thing. Number 11, when the mail comes and I get a letter from my friend in jail. Number 12, a text from Dan Bremnes. 13, when there's nobody in line at the Cineplex. Yeah. Number 14, when the seat beside me on the airplane is empty and I can stretch out. Number 15, Macintosh apples sliced into eighths. I love that. Number 16, going for walks with my wife and my poodle. Number 17, a week without a listener complaint. I'm hoping that this will be the week. Number 18, long car rides when somebody else is willing to drive. Number 19, a Christmas card in the mail, and it's got a personal signature at the bottom. It's written in ink. And number 20, when Chris Bray calls and he invites me to play percussion with him. Man, I am so materialistic. I try to balance it off by spending time with other people or sharing or giving something. I don't know if that works or not. I realize that I've got a lot of nice things and they could be gone like in an instant. Everything could be gone. I'm petrified of wind. When I hear wind warnings and tornadoes, I see tornadoes on TV and they're like devastating cities and buildings are being leveled and like ripping apart family possessions. And like, I actually tremble when there are warnings on the radio in Barrie. I panic. And last summer there was one of these situations and the sky was darkening and the funnel clouds were reported and like panic was just like going through me. And the report said, take shelter in your basement. And I was alone. My wife is away, probably quilting somewhere. And so I could envision like the roof is being blown off of the house. My photo albums are being blown to bits. All my family videotapes are ruined. My bed's like going up through the clouds. I actually grabbed my wallet and my phone and my day timer and my meds, and I put them like all together in like a little pouch so I could like hang on to it. If I'm gonna get blown away, I can at least have my stuff with me. I thought, well, what? I could put stuff in the basement, all of my CDs. Wait a minute, I've got a lot. I've got thousands of CDs. How am I gonna like take them all down to the basement? And then I realized how materialistic I'm being. Like with photo albums and family possessions, like, we've got insurance. Insurance is going to pay for all this stuff, right? Insurance can pay for it, right? It's just stuff. At least we've got our lives. No. Like, who's kidding who? We cannot replace our family treasures. If I lose all of my things, I'm going to be really, really upset. I hate wind. It really scares me. Fortunately, when the storm was on and the house was like shaking just a little bit, our 10,000 watt generator was providing electricity. I am so materialistic. That's why I suck at being a Christian. The more I read the Bible, it seems like I have more questions after I read or after I hear a message. Because the Bible is a very complex book, obviously. It covers a wide variety of topics. Even Christianity aside, it just has so much wisdom in it. You don't even have to be a Christian to read the Bible to get something out of life. So we all go through these dark times. If there's a death in the family or there's rules that we can't bend, you look at the book of Proverbs and it's all about wisdom. And most of it seems pretty logical, but like the wording and the depth of the stuff in Proverbs, I just find it so profound. And it's not like it's one page, it's like page after page after page. The crucifixion of Christ has its place in history. But maybe his last day for me after I watched The Passion, it became so real. How many people saw The Passion of the Christ? Didn't that help you to understand things because there's a visual there? And I wondered, did the Romans really kill people like that? Like, not just Jesus, but anybody outside of the law? Is that how they killed people? Man, what a horrible way to go. So when The Passion came out, 2004, it cost $30 million to make. It has grossed $600 million at the box office. So when it came out, Life 100.3 had a special advanced screening, and we invited all the pastors. And Jim Melanson and I were up at the front just to introduce the film and thank people for coming. And I remember saying, I don't know what to expect. I haven't seen it. So I'm sitting about halfway back in the theater. This is so embarrassing. I can't believe I'm telling it. Sitting halfway back in the theater, I'm sitting next to Jim and Jeff, who was doing our evening show, and it was at the scourging scene, you know, where they're whipping him and they're scourging him. I'm, oh, man. So I'm, like, closing my eyes, and I can still hear it. It's awful. I open my eyes, and then they got out the cattails where he flung it at a piece of wood, and it stuck, and the Roman soldier went, ha, 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 ha. And that was really making me sick, and I could feel myself getting dizzy, and I'm like trying to plug my ears and plug my eyes so that I'm not hearing this. Then I decided I'm going to get out. I'm going to excuse myself and go out during this scene. So I got up. The next thing I know is I'm at the side on the floor, and there are people looking at me. Scott, are you okay? I said, what happened? They said, you hit the garbage can, you fell down, and went, oh, man. They said, it's okay, the ambulance is coming. We're in the movie theater. Obviously, I would have been the center of attention, tripping over the garbage can trying to escape. So the ambulance come, the paramedics come. I'm sitting on the floor, and the paramedic goes like, how many fingers am I holding up? And I thought, you guys really do that? I thought that was on TV. It was like, I don't know, 6 or 7? I can't really tell. Oh, man. So I went to the hospital, got checked out, everything was fine. How embarrassing. Then a couple years pass, I'm at church, and the guest speaker is talking about the crucifixion and how Jesus must have felt, medically speaking, what his lungs were doing, how his blood was feeling, what he was doing on that day, how he felt. And she was getting into detail. And Janice leans over to me and she says, "You probably want to go outside during this." And I thought, "Yeah, I do." So I quietly get up. The next thing I know, Pastor Jim is looking at me on the floor like, "Scott, are you okay?" I'm like, "Oh crap, it happened again." Oh, am I blushing? That was crazy. The disciples that Jesus called, they were like everyday people. He could have gone into the Christian bookstore and picked somebody. He could have taken a paramedic or a secretary, a veterinarian, a farmer, maybe even a guy that works at a radio station. Get like a really uncommon group of people to be disciples. And you look at the epistles, and the epistles tell us how to live a good life, how to raise our kids properly, how to be a good companion to our spouse, how to look after our finances. And then you go back to the Psalms, and the Psalms were written with such passion, all those like centuries ago. And now we still have these Psalms, and they are so powerful that people like Chris Tomlin take those words and put music to them and make a whole new song that we can play on the radio, and it doesn't even lose the message. That is really awesome. Songs about our dreams and songs about our troubles and songs about our loves. So when people tell me that the Bible was manufactured by who knows who 2,000 years ago, like my dad told me that, 2,000 years is a long time to be on the bestsellers list, isn't it? I mean, it's being read by dumb people and smart people who come to the same conclusion. It's such a powerful book, and there's such a wide variety of ideas. I just can't conceive that a small group of dumbos who were writing in detail with so much passion and wisdom, and they talk about the past and they talk about the future. It's so powerful that it converts somebody's lifestyle. It changes their life when they read this book. So if the Bible was fiction, if it was, it certainly wouldn't have lasted this long. I read the Bible and I struggle with some verses that contradict each other. But I've actually decided that because the Bible is God's word, then God won't contradict himself. So if I think there's contradiction in the Bible, it's got to be my misunderstanding. Like this one. So Proverbs 26, verse 4. It says, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him." And then the very next verse says, "Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes." I mean, the Bible makes me wonder. The more I read, the more I wonder about stuff. Like, how can a guy live in the belly of a whale for 3 days and not die? Like, would the lack of oxygen kill him? Or the fluids that are in the fish, like, eat him up? I mean, I just shrug my shoulders. Jonah 2:1, it says, "From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God." So here's the irony, is that I don't have any tangible evidence of anything I believe, just stories and history and faith. And then I get up in the morning and I can just look out my window and see an amazing sunrise and know that it's going to come up every morning like that. It's always going to come up, and that's part of God's creation. Psalm 19:1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaim his handiwork." So if God can make like all of that happen, then these Bible stories that have survived 2,000, 3,000 years, then they're probably true. Man, I suck at being a Christian because I need supernatural evidence. I need evidence. In 1999, when life was starting, I was on the air. It was the afternoon show. And we've been on the air for 2 months. And our promotions girl, Lori, comes in. And she says, "There's a guy on the phone. He wants to talk to you." And I said, "I'm on the air. I'm on the radio right now." She says, "Only take a minute." So, okay. So I take the call. And he says, "I hear you guys are struggling financially." And I said, yeah, it's a little tight right now. Not what I expected. And he said, "Are you tithing?" I said, "No, we're not tithing. Like, we don't have any money." And he says, "If you give to someone else, God will bless you." He says, "I'm giving you this word." I said, "Well, we don't have any money to give with." And he says, "Have you got $100? And I said, "Yeah, like I've got $100. He says, "When you get off the air, take the $100, go down to the soup kitchen and give it to them." So we did. And station is on the air 17 years later. I don't know if it was because of that or not, but we continue to tithe from that moment. We tithe on all the advertising at the radio station, and we're able to support other ministries and projects. Somebody was asking me, how's the radio station really doing? And I can tell you that we don't buy anything unless we have the money in the bank. We don't have any debts. We don't owe any money. I think the reason why Life is doing well right now is because of Love Offering. So thank you guys for that. I think it's because we work really hard and we tithe and we're giving back. I think God is blessing us for that. Sometimes I suck at being a Christian, but not always. I think sometimes I get it right. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you for summer and the sunshine and the warm weather. I pray, God, that you would help us all to get something from this message, that we are generous, that we're not coveting, that we're not overprotecting our things. I pray that we could be grateful instead of complaining. I pray that for those of us that are materialistic, that we can trust in you and you would help us to be content with the things that you've given us. And I pray for my friends at OCC and Pastor Mike, who's just come back from an amazing vacation. I pray for his family. I pray for the vision that he is giving the church, that you're giving him to give to the church, and that it would continue to grow and flourish and do really cool things. And we pray for a family movie night that's coming up as well. I pray that you just help us to know where the way is, how to make a way, that you would show us the way, and we wouldn't look to the left or the right. We just keep our eyes focused on you. We can't do it alone, God. We need your supernatural help in Jesus' name. Amen. We're doing a love offering today, right? Okay, so I just wanted to mention about the love offering. Whatever we get in the love offering today is going to a billboard in Orillia. We want a book on Atherley and Lackley because those are high traffic areas. Let people know there's a Christian radio station. What that does is it develops loyalty to people for people who already listen, but we can reach other people who don't listen and they'll see 100.3. What's that? Turn it on for the first time and hear the word of God. So that's where the love offering is going. All right, guys. Thanks for not falling asleep. I'll see you next time. God bless.
We pray that God will use this message to strengthen your faith and draw you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. If you are interested in other sermons or want to know more about Orillia Community Church, please visit our website at www.occweb.org.